Thank you once again for being here tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 21. Let's look across the page at verse number 14. Let me just read this in its context tonight. Let's back up to verse number 8. If you'll give me about 30 minutes tonight from right now, I'll try to be done in about 30 minutes if you'll give me that. The Bible said, and he said, "Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not after them." You remember this morning we said this is written to the Jew, but we can glean things concerning the end times from this text. "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified." I underline that in my Bible because there's certainly, after the events in Afghanistan, is going to be a greater terror threat than ever. "For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And I love this. It shall turn to you for a testimony." Isn't that good? God can take what the enemy means for evil and turn it in our favor for a testimony. Amen. Now listen in the light of what I just read, verse 14. He said, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor to resist." We looked this morning at a fearful heart that was shaken. Tonight we're going to look at a faithful heart that's settled. I don't know about you, but in these last of these last days, I want to be in that second crowd. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want some things to be settled in my heart and in my life. I don't want to be shaken in my shoes over the terror and over the things that are coming upon this world. Just a word tonight, and then we'll have prayer. I believe everybody in this church house tonight believes that Jesus is coming, and that at the first advent of his coming, the saints of God that are in the ground, that are buried, are going to come forth first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We believe that that's going to take place before the tribulation sets in on the earth. I will say this, don't get too comfortable, because we're not going through the tribulation does not mean that we may not see a time of persecution as the church. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that. You say, "Pastor, why do you say that?" There's a couple of reasons. We are hated by most in this world. Christians are hated. Number two, are we any better than the early church? You think about how they beat them. You think about down through the years how men and women have been willing to be burned at the stake, Brother Larry, rather than deny this book, and been willing to be boiled in hot oil rather than deny this book, being willing, even like Peter, to be crucified upside down rather than deny this book. And I do believe, listen, even with what we're facing with the pestilence in America, I do believe there's a testing going on right now of people's faith. Amen. I want to say this tonight. I'm not trying to be mean. Listen, I can understand people maybe having conditions and being a little bit fearful or being a little bit careful. I understand all that. But what I don't understand is how you can frequent the Walmart and stay away from the house of God. I don't understand how you can continue to frequent the gas station and frequent the bank and stay away from the house of God. I don't understand that. I'm just being honest with you as your pastor. And I also believe this, our Lord don't either. If you want to be in the house of God, then I believe you will be in the house of God. Amen. And we'll do the best that we can till He comes. In that tribulation hour, you understand that the Antichrist, he said there's going to be these false Christs. Don't go after them. Don't run after them. He's talking to the Jew. And they're going to swallow a lie for a while because they're still blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And the Antichrist is, beloved, listen, going to make a bad mistake in the middle of the tribulation. He's going to set himself upon the throne of David and declare himself to be God. Daniel speaks of this as the abomination of desolation. It is then in the middle of the 7 years at the 3.5 year mark that the Jew realizes we have swallowed a lie, hook, line, and sinker. And that's why the Bible comes along with a phrase like this, and so all Israel shall be saved. God is going to, listen, He has not forgotten the Jew. And it would do you and I well to pray for the Jew and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for the apple of God's eye. Amen. He is going to graft them back in, the Word of God tells us in the book of Romans. So in that setting, we need to realize that Jesus is saying here, settle it. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts. And so we see hearts that are failing for fear, a fearful heart that's shaken. But tonight I want to concentrate for just a little while on a faithful heart. And by the way, let me just say this tonight. What's going on in Haiti with the earthquake? What's going on in Afghanistan with the exit or the pulling out and the chaos in Afghanistan right now? Listen, you may not believe, I've unread the book of Revelation, is a picnic compared to what's coming on this world. I'm telling you, beloved, it is a walk in the park in comparison to what's coming in the great tribulation hour, when men will look up and there'll be 100-pound hailstones falling from the sky. When you go to a water fountain and 1/3 of the earth's water has been turned into blood. When, beloved, listen, there's death and there's stench in the rivers and in the streams. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when men and women are running to the rocks and crying, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. We've seen nothing, beloved, yet. But I want you to understand the stage is being set. And we are living in the last of the last days. And we're headed that way. Amen. The church won't be here. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The church needs to get concerned about those that will be left behind. Listen to me. Years ago, I didn't mean to say all this, but I need to. Years ago, I watched a series called Left Behind. And I'm not going to argue with anything that gets people to thinking about the end times. I think we need to think about the end times. Amen. But I'm going to tell you there's something that's portrayed in that movie that this Bible absolutely does not teach. There's a father and a daughter that have openly and knowingly rejected Christ, and then they're going to get saved in the tribulation. This Bible does not teach that. You read the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God is going to send strong delusion, and they're going to believe a lie and be damned. I'm telling you, listen, there's going to be a multitude saved in the tribulation, but it is not going to be the gospel deniers of this generation. I promise you that. Amen. There's going to be a multitude out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue saved in the tribulation. But it's not going to be people that have denied the Lord in this generation that we live in. Let's get settled tonight. Faithful, a faithful heart that's settled. Pray with me. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I need your help tonight, Lord. I need your strength. I need you to help me, our Father, to be a help. Because, Lord, I learned a long time ago, I can't help your people if you don't help me. I can't be a blessing if you don't bless me. Bless me tonight, our Lord, with your power, with your presence. And help me, dear God. Lord, I realize every time I stand here, it might be the last time I ever get to stand. Help me to do my best for thee, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll give you some things tonight as we start into the message. First of all, I'll just give you the whole message, and then we'll come back on each one of them. We ought to be settled tonight, number one, as a result of his word. We ought to be settled, number two, as a result of his wisdom. And then we ought to be settled, number three, as a result of our watch. And I'm going to show you these things in the text tonight. I believe we ought to be settled. I remember, you know I'm bad. I guess I'm getting old or something. But I sit on the front pew in the choir singing. And I might holler something like this, "Sing it, youngins!" I'm bad to call y'all youngins, amen. And some of you, like Brother Ralph, appreciates it, amen. But anyway, you know, have you ever been around a school class or maybe a group of young people, and the person that's kind of in charge, have you ever heard them say something like this? Maybe a mamaw, maybe a papaw. I've heard mamaw say this. I've heard papaw say it too. "Settle down, youngins." How many's ever heard something like that? In other words, they're rowdy. They're rambunctious. You know what I believe God would say to us tonight? Settle down, youngins. I know, listen, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, youngins. I've overcome the world. Amen. Just settle down, youngins. Amen. Settle it therefore in your heart. Amen. And have that heart that's settled on him. I read something that was kind of funny. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed. She was about to turn the light off when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by a shaken voice saying, "The big sissy." Listen tonight. We're not sissies, because we walk with Jesus. There's people say, "You need a crutch. You mighty right, honey. I need more than a crutch most of the time, Brother Preston. I need somebody to carry me." And I thank God I have somebody, amen, that loves me that much. We ought to be settled as a result of his word. The Bible said, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." The word of God said over here in these first verses that I read tonight, "Take heed that you be not deceived." How is it that you and I are going to make it in this day and hour that we live in without being deceived? I tell you how. Keep your nose, keep your heart, keep your eyes in this precious old book that we have in front of us called the Bible. Amen. We can keep from being deceived. We ought to stay in the book. You say, "Pastor, I don't know what the Word of God has to do with us being settled." I'll tell you, if you just understand tonight, the Word of God is settled. It's settled forever in heaven. Amen. And we don't have to be shaken by every wind of doctrine, because we have a Bible that's steadfast. We have a Bible that's sure. So we can be settled as a result of his word. In the Bible, in the text that we've read, there's a word of prophecy. The Bible said you're going to hear of wars and commotions. Be not terrified. These things must first come. Great earthquakes, diverse places, famines, pestilence, fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, what God has said will take place has already taken place, or it will take place, just like God said. So the text is a word of prophecy. In the text, there's a word of protection. Look at verse 12 and verse number 13. The Bible said, "But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony." You think about that for just a moment. Look at verse 16. "And you shall be betrayed, both of parents and brethren and kinfolk and friend, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. You say, Pastor, that don't sound like protection to me. I'm telling you, beloved, when you're settled just right in the things of God and settled in the faith, you can be like John R. Rice was when that guy put a pistol under his chin. He said, son, you can't scare me with heaven. Amen. You realize, beloved, that to breathe your last breath down here, we don't have to be scared. We don't have to die in fear. We can die in faith, knowing that just in a moment, we're going to be on the other side. He's protecting us, whether we go or whether we stay. Then the Word of God said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Look in verse 18. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. You say, oh, that's contradicting. They're talking about somebody maybe even being persecuted unto death. But it said, there shall not a hair of your head perish. I'm telling you, God, beloved, listen. There might be countries that's got guns and countries that's got nuclear weapons and countries that think they're in control of this thing, and some of them are growing in strength. But I want you to know there's a God in heaven. He's on the throne. And beloved, He has not lost control. He knows what's going on. And then in the text, there's a word of promise. Look at verse 27 and 28. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Y'all believe that? And when they shall begin to come, these things begin to come to pass, He said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I believe we ought to be settled tonight as a result of His Word. Secondly, tonight we ought to be settled as a result of His wisdom. Look in verse number 14 and 15. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor to resist. You remember, beloved, listen, when Stephen preached that message, the Bible said they couldn't resist. Amen. That word that God had given Stephen. The Word of God, you say, preacher, settled as a result of His wisdom. The Bible said, but of Him in 1 Corinthians 1:30, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Beloved, you say, well, I have wisdom. Well, if you have wisdom, I know where it come from. The Bible said that wisdom is first peaceable, and it comes down. Amen. Every good and perfect gift comes down. The Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Jesus said in Matthew 10, fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. In other words, beloved, we're not supposed to be shaken in a fearful state. We're supposed to be settled in the faith, knowing that we're in the hands of an almighty God and that He is going to take care of us. We have His Word on it, and we have wisdom enough to understand what God is doing. Let me give you this. Stephen, he didn't have to fear the stoning. You say, preacher, why didn't he fear the stoning? Because he feared the Savior. You see, he said, I see Jesus. Amen. That's what we need in this generation. Some people that don't see the bombs, but some people that see the blesser, the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Stephen didn't have to fear the stoning because he feared the Savior. David didn't have to fear the giant. You say, Pastor, why didn't David fear the giant? I'll tell you why. He knew there was somebody going down in that valley that was a whole lot bigger than the giant was. And you and I need to get it settled in our heart. There's somebody, beloved. Listen, even though our country is going to the dogs, it seems like, there's still somebody in the shadows, bigger than the Democrats and bigger than the Republicans and bigger than the independents and bigger than the politicians and bigger than the policy. There's a God in heaven. We ought to have it settled in our heart tonight. Listen, there's so many. All they want is power. How many of us know the one that's got the power? I believe, listen, I preached Sunday night a little while back. He's got the power to lay the axe to this tree and let her fall flat on her face. If that's what it takes, beloved, to get us to look up and realize there's a God, humble our hearts before Him. I'm talking about as a nation. Then so be it. Amen. The Hebrew children, they didn't have to fear the fiery furnace. The fire of the furnace around them could not touch the fire of the Father that was within them. Honey, if you've got Jesus living in your heart tonight, you've got something this world don't know anything about, and you've got something this world can't take away from you, and you ought to just be settled tonight, settled in your heart. Amen. And then settled, lastly today, as a result of our watch. If you go over there, let me see what verse that is. I believe it's verse 36. He said, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." I want to give you some things tonight. I think you already know this, but Pastor even has to be reminded. There are some names in political circles, when you say them, it makes me want to vomit. I'm just telling you the truth. But God has to remind me that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Honey, it's not flesh and blood that's trying to destroy this great country that we live in. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Beloved, listen to me. I'm going to go ahead and make a statement tonight. You don't have to like it. But the blacks and whites was getting along better before Obama come along. I said it and I ain't taking it back. And now we got generals that think we need to teach the army the woke culture. God help us. God help us. You say, "Pastor, you think we ought to be prejudiced?" No, sir. Not under any circumstance. I grew up with black men. Amen. When I grew up, the black men that I grew up, my best friends in high school, you listen to me, they lived in nice homes. They went on to college. They were smarter than I was. They were richer than I was. I wasn't jealous of them. And nobody had to tell us that you got to do this because he's black, or you got to do this because he's white. Just give us the ball. Let us play ball. Amen. Have a good time together. And let us aggravate one another in the class and aggravate the teacher together. Amen. We're just having the time of our life. Hey, didn't nobody have to tell me you need to do this because he's this color or that color. God help us in this country. Listen, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We need to watch. Let me give you several things quickly because of the foe. In Nehemiah chapter number 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Listen, Dad, you better watch for your home. We better watch because there's an enemy trying to get in our home. Let me just say this tonight. I try to remind us every once in a while, there's an enemy trying to get into our church. He's trying to get in. Amen. He don't want to be standing out there when Jesus comes. He wants to be right here in the middle of everything when Jesus comes. We need to watch because of the foe. We need to watch because of the family. In Nehemiah 7, verse 3, "I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open till the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, every one to be over against his house." We ought to watch because of the family. We ought to watch because of the flesh. Listen, till Jesus comes and changes you and I, we're still going to be contending every day with this stinking flesh that we live in. You say, "Now, I'm offended at that, Pastor." Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. You just don't know the flesh too good if that offends you. The flesh is capable of doing anything it did before you got saved and worse. I like to say this every once in a while for the English teacher and worser. Amen. Paul learned this. He said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." He said, we're not of them that put confidence in the flesh. Don't put confidence in your flesh. Don't make provision for your flesh. Young people, try to keep yourself out of situations where the flesh could have its way. And you'll be wise for doing that. We need to watch. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is, how many knows the word? Weak. Don't ever forget that. You say, Pastor, I think I'm pretty strong. Well, let me tell you something right now. If you have any strength that counts, it's God's strength. Paul said, I realize that in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Then we ought to watch because of the faith. The Word of God said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I'm closing now. Brother Don, boy, that was good. Was you here when he said that, Brother Larry? He said, now in closing, he said, unlike Pastor, I mean it. Oh, it was so good. Amen. I love him, don't you? He's old enough, he can say whatever he wants to and get by with it. Amen. Let me give you something in closing. We need to watch because of the forecast. He said, Pastor, what do you got on your mind here? I want to ask you something tonight. How many of you all get up in the morning, whether you use the paper, whether you use the internet, or whether you use the television, how many of you want to know what the weather's going to be for the day? How many of y'all want to know that? Come on now. Some of y'all are lying. You're sitting there and you're not fessing up. And there's something else you look at every morning. You're raising both of her hands, ain't you, Brother Al? There's something else you're going to look at. It's the obituaries, ain't it? Somebody help me. Amen. Amen. You could say, well, I'm just looking at the obituaries to see who's still living. Brother Mays Jackson said, one day you're going to read my name in the obituaries. He said, it's going to say I died. He said, it's going to say Mays Jackson died. He said, don't you believe a word of it? I'll be more alive than I ever have been. That's God's people. Amen. Let me give you something tonight. The forecast. You say, Pastor, what's the forecast? Well, I just want to say this to God's people. We ought to be settled tonight. You say, it's scary out there. You talked about Chicago and other places. Yeah, but not where we're going. It's dark out there, but not where we're going. There's a storm on the horizon, an economic storm, a political storm, many going through physical storms, but not where we're going. Amen. There's lots of bad people out there. Not where we're going. Those that make an abomination and make a lie, the Word of God said, the murderers, the sorcerers, they're not going where we're going. We're going to God's heaven. Amen. You say, Pastor, there's so much uncertainty out there in the forecast. I say, yep, but not where we're going. We're going to a certain place at a certain time. You say, well, I don't know when I'm going. No, but he does. And it's certain in his heart. Amen. John chapter 14, y'all know the scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, by the way, I'm going to tell you something. One of our problems in the church today is we have gotten too familiar with scriptures like this. They don't bless us like they once did. Amen. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Think about that, Brother Preston. He went over there for you. That's personal. He was talking to his disciples. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, he spoke up and he said, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus answered and said unto him, I am the way. How many guys you know that tonight? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hebrews 9:28 says, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. and unto them that look for him. How many's looking for him? Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. That sounds like somebody just kind of settled down. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Our Lord has painted a picture of two hearts in Luke chapter 21. There's a fearful heart that's just trembling and shaking and shaken by the events going on around them. But thank God there's a faithful heart that's settled. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. Don't wait till the trouble comes to get settled. I've had the privilege as pastor of this church for over 8.5 years now. And I say the privilege. Many of you voiced to me at different times what our ministry has meant to you. I've watched some of you all walk in some of the darkest valleys. And you'll never know till you get home to heaven what that deep settled peace in your heart and in your life meant to your pastor and to others around you. Amen. Youngins, settle down. We're going home. Amen. We're going home. Emmy's glad you come tonight. Did I make it in 30 minutes? If I did, somebody ought to shout. Amen. Amen. Now in closing, and I mean it. Amen. That's good. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for being here.